So what exactly are we fasting for? I mean, the 17th of Tammuz, marking the breaking of the walls of Jerusalem during the siege of the Second Temple. And in a minute, we'll see also marking the destruction, the shattering of the first set of tablets which Moshe brought down from the mountain. That seems awfully far away. Unless you think this is a modern question, then I invite you to open up the book of Zechariah. You know, one of the last prophets, one of the prophets, in fact, of the return. A time which is strikingly similar to the one in which we find ourselves. And there in the seventh chapter of Zechariah, you should check out lines 3 to 6, where the people come to the prophet and they say, listen, it's true, we've been mourning because of the destruction of the first temple and our time in Babylonian exile, but we're back now, and we're rebuilding the temple. It says, shall I weep in the fifth month, abstaining as I've done for these many years? Right? Is this day of mourning really still relevant, they ask him? And so God says a very powerful response. Say to all the people of the land of the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh month, these 70 years, did you fast for me, even for me? And when you eat and drink, are you not the ones who eat and drink? And you the ones who do it? God is saying, you want to know whether you should still be fasting? I'll ask you a more important question. When you were fasting, who was it for? Was it for me? Were you worried about my dignity, my house, and therefore you're going to say that now that my house is rebuilt, that there's no reason to fast any longer? This isn't about me, says God. It's about you. So what is this day about? Well, like I said, it's a day of breaking. On the national historical plane, it's the day in which the walls of Jerusalem were broken. On the 17th of Tammuz, almost 2,000 years ago, the Roman armies, after 2.5 years of siege, managed to breach the wall and pour into the city. Now, it took them 3 more weeks until they reached the Temple Mount and destroyed the Holy Temple. But nevertheless, this is the beginning of the end. But you know what? The story goes a little bit deeper than that. Because the reality is, Jerusalem burned from inside before the Romans ever breached the wall. As Josephus tells us, and the Gemara relates, there was a civil war raging between the upper city and the lower city, between this faction and that faction, between the people who believed they spoke for God and the people who believed they spoke for God, and everybody turned on everybody. And you know, the breaking of the walls was almost symbolic. And perhaps that's why, in the classic story of the Gemara, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the head of the sages, managed to have himself smuggled out and meet Vespasian, the general commanding the siege, and greets him as king, and Vespasian says, well, I'm not the king, you're liable for death for calling me king. And all of a sudden, just like that, a messenger appears and says, they've declared you king, Caesar. Vespasian is so awed by Rabbi Yochanan's insight that he offers him 3 wishes. Now I want to warn you, if a genie ever shows up in your life and offers you 3 wishes, you better pray that it's your best day. Because whatever you wish for, you're going to get. So he offers him 3 wishes, and Rabbi Yochanan, being Rabbi Yochanan, is at his best. And it's not really worth it right now to go into what he asked for, but you know what he doesn't ask for? He doesn't ask him to go away. He doesn't say, save Yerushalayim, save the Holy Temple. And why not? Well, the question is, what's the purpose of brokenness? So in order to answer that, let's look at the other face of the 17th of Tammuz. It's the day on which Moshe came down from the mountain and found the people dancing around the golden calf. And in his rage and despair, he took the covenant and smashed it to the ground. Now, that could have been the end. It could have been a breaking of a relationship. But the reality is, the sages in Seder Olam Rabbah, their great work of chronology, tell us that it was actually the beginning. Because from that moment, after he cleared up the situation in the camp, Moshe went back up on the mountain and got God's forgiveness. And he came back down after 40 more days and he told the people, God has forgiven us, we can start again. And that was Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he went back up for 40 more days and prayed and pleaded with God. And he came back down with a second set of tablets on Yom Hakipu really. Because the link between the 17th of Tammuz and Yom Kippur is a direct line. And it has to do with the healing power of brokenness. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ask Vespasian to go away? Save the temple, leave us alone? Well, it might just be because he was watching Jerusalem burn from within before the Romans ever breached the walls. He saw the hatred between Jews. He saw the sinat chinam, the causeless animosity, which tore us apart. He saw the power of our individualism overwhelm any collective consciousness, which is really the fabric on which the Torah can rest. And he saw the exile which lay ahead and said, there's a great brokenness that we have to pass through before a new relationship can begin. And what exactly does that new relationship look like? Well, we'll get there in 1 minute, because there's another aspect of brokenness I want to add. Because it's not just the 17th of Tammuz coming up. This week is Parshat Pinchas. And in Parshat Pinchas, that great act of zealotry, when Pinchas stands up and defies public immorality, and with an act of courage runs through two people, kills two people, takes two lives, and is rewarded by God with Briti Shalom, my covenant of peace. It's an odd thing, isn't it, that an act of violence, of killing, should be rewarded with a covenant of peace. And in fact, there are many people who want to reject out of hand the idea that such a thing could be true. How could peace ever come from violence? And that's a more complicated question than I really want to delve into right now, but it's very important to me that you know that when you look at the text in the Torah, and hopefully in your Chumash, if it's well presented, you'll see that that word shalom is written differently there than it is anywhere else in the entire Tanakh. You know, shalom, the root of which is shalem, it's wholeness. And it goes from being an idea of wholeness to an experience of peace when you add the vav. Because what's the vav in the Hebrew language? The vav is the letter of connection. Because really, wholeness in the world is the notion that everything is connected. And so you take the static notion of shalem, of whole, and you add the power of connectivity to it, and it becomes shalom, it becomes peace. The only problem is, right there in the middle of that vav, in Briti Shalom, it's broken. That's right, the vav is written what's known as a vav kitia. It's a broken vav. The top is disconnected from the bottom. And I believe that's because Pinchas did what he needed to do, but he did it with a broken heart. Because when he stood up, like the Midrash says, and he came to Moshe and the elders and said, you're in charge here, you need to do what's right, all they could do was weep. And he, through his tears, took action. And yet, he took action by taking life. And even though God rewards him with the priesthood and a new covenant, there's a piece of brokenness that lie inside there. So what is the message of the 17th of Tammuz? Well, let's come back to the story of the breaking of the tablets. Like I said, the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe breaks the first tablets. He goes through a whole process, and he receives the second set of tablets on Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement. What's the connection? The connection lies in what is placed right between them. When God tells Moshe to come back up the mountain in order to receive the tablets once again, he says, Psolecha. He says, carve for yourself a new set of tablets. The first set were given to Moshe. God made them. And you know, just like a genie that gave the people whatever they wanted, maybe they weren't ready to receive it. Instead, God says to him, psolecha. It doesn't just mean carve for yourself. You can also read it as carve yourself. You make yourself, Moshe, into the medium on which it's fit for me to write my Torah. Because there's a process between the 17th of Tammuz and Yom Kippur. It's a process of tshuva, of repentance, of return, of bringing myself to the place where I want for myself that which God wanted for me all along. And the reality is, though we all are obligated to return, no one can do it for you. No one can make you do such a thing. You can't force return. Oh, you might be able through acts of violence, zealotry, and even if they're necessary, to turn the tide of the moment and to assert the will of God, but you cannot change the world. Because if you want a true Brit Shalom, you want a real covenant of wholeness and peace, of connectivity, then what you have to do is bring people to that place of solacha, of to make yourself into the medium on which God feels fit to write the Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't ask Vespasian to go away, and he allows him to break the walls, to break the temple, to break our heart, and send us out into exile, where we will truly be broken, in order that when it ends, we can truly be healed. And Moshe will break the tablets, in order that we can start a process which will allow us to bring ourselves to the place where we want that which God wanted for us all along. And Pinchas will stand up in the midst of public immorality, and with an act of violence, turn the tide. But he'll leave it broken in the middle. Because ultimately the vision, the answer to the question that the people asked the prophet, that is, when we fast, we're not fasting for God. We're fasting that because we're broken. And when our fasts are fasts of brokenness, well then, as the prophet continues, our eating will actually be an eating for God. An eating for the celebration of life, of wholeness and healing. And perhaps this is the meaning of the rest of the answer the prophet gives in the 8th chapter, in the 19th line of Zechariah, where it says, "And so saith the Lord of the hosts, the fast of the 4th month, the fast of the 5th month, the fast of the 7th, and the fast of the 10th will be for the house of Judah joy and happiness, for happy celebrations, but love, truth, and peace." Because to me, this is the tremendous message, brokenness. And it's a huge opportunity we have this year, because the 17th of Tammuz falls out on Shabbat itself. When you make Kiddush this Shabbat, and even if you don't normally make Kiddush, make it this Shabbat. Raise a glass of wine on a fast day and drink it both for God and yourself and in the cause of wholeness. And the next day, when you fast, make sure it's you that's broken and not God. If you like this Torah, you can find more of it at suomyakov.com. You can follow us on SoundCloud or on iTunes on Stitcher, or you can come on down to the Beit Midrash in beautiful Nachlaot Yerushalayim. Shabbat Shalom.